You ready?
This is the Mike Salk Show
on Seattle Sports Station.
Are you ready?
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Are you ready for a good game?
All right, final hour here of the Mike Salk Show today on Seattle Sports on 710seattlesports.com. Justin, do we know what we're ranking yet? We're going to have to figure that out.
It has been a morning, so
we've got a lot going on, so we're going to have to buckle down and come up with something good to rank.
We should just do like a nice, casual, actual ranking.
Oh, wow.
It might be a good day for
you. Want me to rank our top six callers that are all on the phone right now? I want to run through this. I'm excited. We got our new phone system working. I can pull you up by myself. I said open lines, as we do every Friday at 9 o'clock, whatever's on your mind. Serious, not serious, sports, not sports, Mariners, Seahawks, you name it. Let's run through these. 206-421-0-GOSH-MIKE, 866-979-3776. It's our new number. It's going to take me a little while, just like it's going to take you. 866-979-3776. We'll start off with Liz, who's in Seattle. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning. How are you all?
So good. What's going on?
Awesome. Well, you know, I'm just getting ready to work here, but I thought for sure I would love to play beer pong with Jesse Winker.
Yes, I could see that.
Yeah, and some tabletop shuffleboard with J.P. Crawford.
All right, now, I get the Winker one.
You know.
Tell me, the smoothness. I was trying to say, what is it about J.P. that makes you think he's a shuffleboard guy?
It's calm. You got to be calm. You got to be smooth. Mm-hmm. You got to be on point.
I think that makes sense. I think those are really good answers. I think the Jesse Winker thing comes from like that Buffalo Bills jumping through table type of situation. So, yeah, I love that answer for both of those. What do you think, Justin? Would you be willing to go play shuffleboard with J.P. Crawford?
First of all, I'll go play shuffleboard with anybody.
Fair.
I'll do a pickup game of shuffleboard.
I'm pretty good at it, too.
You think Munoz has, like, sort of like, with all the guys who throw sliders, do you think they have sort of like a curling
hook
type of hook to their shuffleboard?
Or I think he would shoot it off the board.
He's throwing 104. All right. 866-979-3776. Let me grab Brad, who's in Seattle. Good morning, Brad.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
So good.
Man, what an exciting Seattle Mariners team we have this year, huh?
You sound excited, yes.
I'm excited. It's been fun. I wanted to ask you how you feel about Adam Frazier, you know, re-signing with the club next year.
I will say I probably don't feel great about it, and it's not a shot at Frazier. I think just sort of the age, et cetera. I'm curious to see if that's a job that Sam Haggerty is either given or has an opportunity to compete for. Now, I know some of his value has been wrapped up in his versatility, but I do wonder whether or not, look, if the guy can hit 300, run around, steal bases, play good defense, et cetera, is there an opportunity? You've got him under club control for, what, 4 more years after this one? I'm certainly interested to see whether or not that's something that's worth doing, especially if you're able to go bigger somewhere else. Yeah, I don't know. 866-979-3776. I'll just keep screwing it up all day. Let me go to Eric in Auburn. What's up, man?
Hey, Mike, how's it going? What a fun couple of days of baseball, huh?
Honestly, I mean, Goldsmith summed it up, like those 18 hours, those two games back-to-back, just great. And, you know, before you talk, Justin had asked me the other day, remember how I was kind of worried about the Angels? Like, heading into that series, I didn't like it. Something didn't feel right to me coming off the excitement and heading back home. I don't know. The Angels series made me a little nervous. Justin, to answer your question, I do not feel the same way about Texas.
Oh, good.
I feel much more confident with them heading into Texas for the first of three tonight. But, Eric, what's on your mind?
Yeah, so exactly a year ago today, I became a dad.
Congrats.
And, Mike, as you know, you become a dad, it changes everything. I'm 25 years old. The last time the Mariners were in the playoffs, I was 4 years old. Obviously, I don't remember. And just yesterday, laying in bed, just kind of reflecting. I know we still got a lot of baseball left, and I'm just so excited for these next, you know, month and a half of games. It almost made me kind of emotional thinking that this could be the team that finally breaks that drought. And watching the game with my dad, and now his grandson, and just kind of how baseball more than any other sport, honestly, just permeates your everyday life. Like you say, it follows you everywhere. You know, and just these couple games that we had against the Yankees. I remember when, you know, I kind of got into baseball late. I was probably 11 years old, 12 years old. It was the 2011 World Series, Game 6. Seeing that ball go over Nelson Cruz's head, you know, there it was the Rangers.
That's one of the greatest baseball games I've ever watched.
Me, you know.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear
that game. I was just saying that game captured me, and I'm just thinking maybe this, you know, Yankees Mariners game captures some other young fans just because it was such a good game, that 13 inning, you know.
God, Eric, what a great phone call. Yes, all of that. First of all, I believe you that you are a new dad now that you're crying and getting emotional over everything. Yes, that is a big part of being a dad. Get excited. Like, it's not an age thing. It's a something weird that happens when there's a, you know, your progeny is around. The next thing you know, you start crying at everything. So not surprised by the emotion. Totally agree on that Texas St. Louis game, one of the greatest games I've ever watched, and had sort of the same effect as Game 6 of the 86 World Series did for me. Those two games, I think, are very similar in a lot of ways. So, hey, love the phone call, man, and glad to hear you and your son and your dad. Everybody's getting excited about this team. Let me go to Kirsten.
Casually throw out the word progeny?
Yeah. Why not? Should I not?
$5, hey, Mike. $5 word Friday.
I got Kirsten in Washougal. What's going on, Kirsten?
Hey, Mike, Justin, Maura, how's it going today? Happy Friday. So I want to talk Mariners. I was at the Tuesday and Wednesday game against the Yankees, and living in Washougal, we had quite the drive home, and I was thinking about the lineup with Julio coming in.
Yeah.
It makes the bottom of our lineup better.
Yes.
With Frazier batting the way he's batting and Haggerty playing the way he's playing, you know, batting in the 7-8-9 spot.
The 7-8-9 should now be probably Raleigh, Haggerty, and Frazier.
Yep. The only problem is, though, is how do we get Haggerty in the lineup on an everyday basis without affecting, you know, the DH rotation with Santana?
Well, I think what you're going to look at is that you end up with essentially a platoon with Santana and Winker. Where they're sort of go, like, maybe Haggerty's in left against the lefty and he is somewhere else for a right. Like, there's some ways you can do it. And so I guess what I would tell you is don't stress about it. Like, they have more than enough at bats to go around. Haggerty's going to be in the lineup as much as he should be and probably no more than that. And again, part of the success is knowing how much to use guys, because sometimes more is not more, right? It's keeping it the exact right amount. All right, I still got the phone lines full. Here's what we're going to do. I'll take a quick break. I'm going to come back, give you a quick version of everything you need to know, and then get right back to your calls, because I love talking to you guys, especially now that the phones are working. How about that? 866-979-3776. Mike Salk Show, Seattle Sports on 710.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Mike Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, thank God we get to get a little Mariner baseball back after a brutal night off yesterday. It was terrible. I missed the Mariners. All I wanted was to be able to watch more baseball, or at least watch Mariner baseball last night. I suppose you could have watched the Field of Dreams game, which was taking place in Iowa, of course. Everybody seemed to be pretty excited about Ken Griffey Jr. and his dad.
Hey, Dad. You want to have a catch?
I'd like that.
How about that? Still not quite as cool as them going back-to-back with home runs, but a nice moment nonetheless. Let's see. Kirby, Gonzalez, Gilbert. That'll be your trio getting the ball starting in Texas tonight as they go through Texas, Anaheim, and then Oakland. Nine-game road trip. When they come back, there'll be 40 games left to play. So this kind of finishes up the third quarter of the season. Mariners still do hold the second of three wildcard spots. Watching the scoreboard, Cleveland wins yesterday, puts them in the AL Central lead. Chicago lost. They're 4.5 back. Baltimore lost as well.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Probably the biggest news of the day. Julio Rodriguez healthy and set to return as the Mariners make a couple of roster moves yesterday. The most exciting player on this team is going to be back where he should be, patrolling center field, and I would assume back in the leadoff spot as well. Jared Kelnick sent down to make room. He went 2-for-4 last night in Tacoma, which I guess is good. I thought he made nice strides this time in terms of his attitude. Jerry DePoto said very much the same yesterday.
A much
calmer version of Jared than I think we've ever seen. You know, is he's had the big moment in New York, and there hasn't been a bevy of hits flying around. But Jared's he's carrying himself in a much more reserved way than we've seen in the past, and it's been a unique season for him. He's learning things, and he is experiencing things that he's never experienced before.
Yeah, and that was one of those things we talked about, right? How will this kid deal with failure? He has certainly had to deal with it over the course of this season. The other roster move, Luis Torrens, DFA'd to make room for trade deadline acquisition. Kurt Casale will be their new backup catcher. Obviously, Torrens, big part of the offense last year, but just did not get it going this season.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Seahawks will be in action for the first time. Preseason game number one, Saturday night. You can hear it here on Seattle Sports on 710 and our sister station, 97.3. You can watch it on King 5. That moves the Mariners, by the way, over to KTTH on 770. But yeah, really the beginning of the post-Russell era, as we will see Drew Lock and Geno Smith out there at quarterback. That's going to be a little bit strange. And actually, kind of maybe a passing of the torch at corner as well. Kobe Bryant and Tariq Woolen set to start as they have all kinds of injuries. Let's see. No Artie Burns, no Sidney Jones, no LJ Collier, no Jordan Brooks, no Marquise Goodwin, and unfortunately no Rashad Penny either. So should see a lot of Kenneth Walker as well. Penny dealing with a groin strain. I believe, and I have no evidence of this, that if it were a regular season game, he would play. But I don't know. So we'll see where this goes. That's everything you need to know. Sort of a quick version here on Seattle Sports on 710. I said I wanted to get back to the phone calls. Yeah, we got a lot of people hanging on. So we can do that. 866-979-3776. Yes, that's our new number. We have a new name, right? We're Seattle Sports now, and we've got a new number as well. Give us a call or text us, either one. It all now goes to 866-979-3776. Again, 866-979-3776. That's our phone number and the Mac and Jack's text line. So update your contacts right now. All right, let me go to Joel, who's in T-Town. What's going on, Joel?
Hey, good morning. Yes, just wanted to see if you guys have been following. We got the U.S. Women's Amateur Golf Tournament at Chambers Bay down at University Place.
Joel, I am following, as a matter of fact. So I DVR'd the coverage at midnight last night because I could not stay up that late. I'm sorry. And I know that they are on, what, it's like 7 o'clock or so tonight. So, yeah, it is, or maybe it's 4 o'clock. I forget what time they come on. It's right after the in Memphis tournament, the St. Jude. So, I have been, and you know, hopefully people around the country are as well. For anybody who watched the U.S. Open and was mad that it looked all, you know, brown and the greens were a problem, it doesn't look brown now. It looks beautiful, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Yep. I actually just going to go by there today, check it out. It's free to get in. Yeah, it's pretty awesome to see him back in our backyard.
Yeah, I totally agree. And hopefully it goes well enough, and I think it has, that we will eventually get more major golf back here to the Northwest. Let's see, who's been hanging on here through the break? How about Graham, who's in the Spokane Valley? What's going on, Graham?
Hello.
Hey. Graham, what's on your mind?
I just had a question for Mike Saul. First of all,
that's me. I'm Mike Saul. Yeah, that's me. What's up?
Oh, hey, Mike.
Hey, what's up, Graham?
I was just wondering, what do you think about? Do you think that the Mariners can win games if they make it to the playoffs against like Houston?
Well, I think they can. I mean, look, you know, assuming they make the playoffs, they're probably starting off in a wild card situation, right? You don't have to play the Yankees or the Astros right away because those teams are going to get a bye. I think they can. I think they can win certainly a wild card series. And then the reason I think you got to give them at least a shot at something is just their pitching, right? I mean, we saw what they've done. They beat the Yankees 4 out of 6. They've struggled, obviously, this year against the Astros. What do you think, Graham?
Well, that depends. If Justin Verlander's pitching, I don't know.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. They've struggled, certainly, against Verlander this year. Yeah, but they've handled Gerrit Cole a couple of times.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, appreciate the call. Thanks, man. Thanks for listening. Thanks for hanging on as well. There's Graham in the Spokane Valley. He just wanted to talk to me. That's nice.
I thought he didn't realize it was you at first.
Well, I'm sure I was very intimidating with my voice when you hear it with all the processing on and everything else. You know, I get it. It's fine. Let's see. Where should we go? Let's go to Aaron or AMAC even. AMAC is in Toledo. What's up, AMAC?
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing. What's up with you?
Just chilling. So happy about this weekend.
All right. Hey, thanks for the phone call, man. Anything else or just you're just happy?
No, here's the thing.
Oh, okay, good.
Here's the thing. Most people will be happy about the Mariners, right? Because of all the hype that's been going on there.
Yeah.
My excitement is for the Hawks. Okay. And this is why.
Yeah, please, let me know.
Most people would be like the rookies and all the other stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Whole other take. I'm going with the QBs. Because this is the first time since Russell Wilson that we've been able to see what Pete Carroll can do with a quarterback. Now, don't get me wrong. We've had Russell Wilson for that long. It was beautiful. Everything was great. But Pete Carroll has a way of making quarterbacks great that might just be mediocre in other places.
I gotta tell you, man, I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, he did not make Tavares Jackson great. He didn't make Charlie Whitehurst great. He didn't make Matt Flynn great. I don't know about making them great. I think that is a really big stretch. But I do think that we are going to find out a little bit about what Pete can do without Russ, for sure. I just don't know whether they've got serviceable guys or not. And this will be the beginning of that process of finding out. This will be the beginning of that process of finding out. Hey, thanks for the phone calls, everybody. It was fun today. Men, women, boys, the whole deal. Everybody calling the show today. And what's fun? Hey, Maura, this worked. How about that?
Man, we needed a win.
We did.
We got a big technological win at the end of the show. For anybody who's listening at 6, it didn't start off perfectly today, but it's come back around and working pretty well now. All right. We'll have our daily chat with Brock next. And then Justin and I went back and forth. We had two different ideas for ranking today. I think we've got the right one, and I don't think we've done it before, but hey, who knows? It's the Mike Salk Show, Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com.
Brock and Salk.
With my brains and your brawn, we'll make an excellent team.
Every morning at 7:45 and 9:30, presented by Top Fitness Store on the Mike Salk Show.
Brock Huard is my hero.
What Brock Huard says? No, he's not a friend of mine.
Subscribe to receive new episodes of the Brock and Salk podcast at Apple Podcasts or on Google Podcasts.
Good morning.
You there?
Oh, I'm here.
No good. There you are.
Oh, I am finishing up and wrapping up the World Tour of Washington State.
Really?
From Mike Salk and Maura and Justin to Suncadia to Brewster to Lake Chelan.
Oh, wow. You going to hang out with Calabro over there this weekend?
No, I don't think I'm going to see Calabro. But you know what I realized yesterday that is, as I'm getting older? You know what I really don't like to do? I don't like to jump off high rocks or cliffs or anything like that. I'm not a risk taker in that way.
Was that something you did when you were younger?
Not necessarily, but I would do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, we climbed up to this jump rock and got up there and it looked a lot. It didn't look that high from the water.
Nope.
And then when you get up there, and then once you're up there, what are you going to do?
Get back down. Yeah.
You're going to crawl back down the
rocks? Yes. Uh-huh. Absolutely. 100%.
Nope. You're going to jump, especially with Titus and my friend Matt. Like, they're going to jump. I'm going to jump. And I just told Titus one thing. Keep your feet together. Do not spread your legs.
That's a good point. Yeah. That's definitely one you want to remember.
When you hit impact and, well, let's just say he lost consciousness as he jumped off and it was not a comfortable landing. Oh. But thankfully, not worse for wear. So there you go. Wrapping it up today and excited to watch the Mariners again get back at it tonight, to watch the Seahawks in preseason game number one tomorrow. So
you want a few of our Mariner questions? We've been asking Mariner questions. It's which Mariner do you want in various situations? You want to answer one or two?
Who I will try after my Ken Walker answer yesterday.
I know that was rough. That was pretty challenging.
Brock,
which Mariner do you want to have your back in a fight?
Ooh, Jesse Winker.
Okay.
And that's the obvious.
I don't know. I feel like Carlos Santana is the guy I want on my back.
Winker was William Wallace. I mean, he took on all of Ireland or Scotland or the English.
He did, whatever, but he also got sort of bowled over. I mean, think about J.P. Crawford throwing those rabbit punches from the top rope, and then Carlos Santana wasn't here yet, but I feel like that's the guy I want. He's huge.
I'll give you a sneaky answer on that one.
Mm.
Scott Servais.
Yeah, that's true. Scott will throw down.
I think I want Dad with me. I think Dad has shown that he's still totally capable of losing all form of reason and logic. So I say, and you got that old man Dad strength, so don't sleep on Scott either.
Which Mariner do you want to invite to your wedding?
Swaggerty.
How come?
And that dude can dance.
Yeah, he's a dance party guy.
Yeah, he's going to liven up the party. He's an everyman, yet he's not. He's probably going to wear something that's going to get some chuckles, and he's just going to lighten the mood. If it's a little stale, a little stiff, or something of that matter, he's Swaggerty. He brings some swag to the wedding.
Here's the one we were debating earlier. Which Mariner would you want or trust to take your kids trick or treating?
Julio.
I said Diego Castillo. Can't you want to see Diego Castillo walking around your neighborhood all dressed up for Halloween?
Because he knows his candy? Because he knows
Don't be insulting. You know, there's no reason to take shots. He's been awesome. I didn't know where you were going with that. I wasn't going anywhere. I just said he'd be a fun person to have around your neighborhood. All right. We got preseason game number one tomorrow night, Brock. What do you make of these two cornerbacks starting, the two rookies starting at cornerback?
What incredible opportunity for them. I mean, this is how it happens. This is how Richard Sherman got his break. I think it was Marcus Trufant was injured and guys were a little nicked up, and all of a sudden they're available every single practice as Tariq and Kobe have been there and learning on the run. And it will be by the fire hose Saturday night because they think they're going to be calm, cool, and collected, especially Tariq. The game's going to move fast for him. He is unbelievably long and twitchy, so he can compensate with that. I don't think Kobe's going to be overwhelmed by the moment. He's played in big games. He's been super productive. So of the two, the game will probably be a little slower for Kobe, but he obviously does not have Tariq's just unbelievable physical traits. So this is how it happens, man. This is how rookies make their mark. The veterans get nicked up or guys are just out, no fault of their own, but injuries do occur in the NFL, and that's usually the number one way to open the door for somebody behind you to take your job. So what an incredible opportunity for those two. And if there's a position that Pete loves young guys, that Pete is so intrigued more than any other position, it's running back and it's cornerback. Mm-hmm. And I think it will be fun to watch both of those positions with young players.
How concerned should I or anybody else be about Rashad Penny?
Oh, no. What now?
He's got a groin pull. You didn't see this? He's got his groin. He's not going to play tomorrow.
What now, Mike?
He's got a groin.
So maybe my answer yesterday. Maybe I knew something.
No, your answer's still terrible because it means that Rashad Penny's hurt or not playing well. It's still a bad answer.
Take away a little of your venom.
No.
Maybe a little apology.
No, absolutely not. It's still a bad answer. Yes.
What do you call that segment? Take the L?
Yeah.
Do you want to take the L right now?
No.
My answer yesterday?
Absolutely not. No, you should still take the L for a terrible answer. Sorry.
I think it's a bummer, but I think, for crying out loud, we have a track record. I mean, this isn't a 4 months or a 1 year. This is 4 years, unfortunately, plus of Rashad, where the body is just hard to stay available. When he is there, he can be a dominant player, but that position is hard to do, and it sucks that it's a soft tissue injury, right? You understand the trauma maybe a little bit more, but then again, when your body does get beat up and has a little wear and tear and you do play that position, soft tissue injuries do usually come. So I hope it's, precautionary on their part. I hope he can get back quickly. But I'll
that's what they said.
Loop back that answer on my corner, and injuries and opportunity and opening the door And you better be careful because Ken Walker is one explosive sucker.
Yeah, we had Mike Robb on yesterday. He compared him to, he said he was LaDainian Tomlinson-ish. Say, hey, he's not LaDainian Tomlinson, but he's LaDainian Tomlinson-ish. I thought that was an interesting comp. Pete made a Richard Sherman comp yesterday for Tariq Woolen. I'm not going to worry about Penny because honestly, what I feel like Penny learned last year, the whole thing was how to play through minor injuries. And he's not supposed to do that in the preseason. That's not like you don't do that now. You do that in the regular season. So I'm not going to worry too much about this.
I would agree with that, but I would also contend that there is no chance he's going to be available for 17 games.
No, I don't expect him to either, but most running backs aren't available for 17 games.
And that is why when everybody gets so upset, why would you ever draft a running back in the second round? Why would you ever take a guy there? Why they're all a dime a dozen? No. The uniquely gifted ones, the Jonathan Taylors and others, Derrick Henry's, the uniquely gifted ones that can run 4.3 40 and don't slow down when they cut and when they get in the open field, make somebody miss and house call after house call after house call after house call. If that guy had a season to go in the Big Ten, I hope we get to see one of those in the preseason. It will be a harbinger of things to come.
All right. Good stuff, buddy. Appreciate it. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk on Monday after. Okay. And we'll have a lot to talk about. That's for darn sure.
Yes, we will. Go Mariners.
Go Mariners is right. There's Brock Heward, who joins us every morning at 7:45 and 9:30. We've survived pretty much here an interesting day on our station and on our show. Thank you to everybody who was patient with us this morning, really over the last couple of days. We got struck by lightning, which was, you know, a challenge. That was not really something we could do anything about.
Could see coming.
Right. I mean, that's sort of force majeure. I mean, like that's not on the list of things that we can account for on a day-to-day basis. We changed over our boards, which is a big part of how to run a radio station. If there's one thing I don't understand about the radio, it's the board. It boggles my mind. Maura does our board every day and runs it incredibly well. I look at it and I just see flashing lights. It looks like, you know, the computer from 2001, A Space Odyssey. Like,
yeah. Yeah, it's mission control.
Especially this new one. There's a lot of lights.
There's a lot of blinking lights. And I'm told you can change the color of the lights.
Yeah.
Are you going to change the color out? Or like what colors do you, what's your
we
color
just
scheme?
Added some yellow to the talk back button.
Oh. Oh
man. Can you imagine getting fancy in here?
That is fancy.
Too bad Brock won't be able to enjoy it someday when he comes by.
That's true. He's colorblind. He can't see any of that. So yeah, we did that. We switched the phone lines and the phone number. So if you want to call us or text us, the new number is 866-979-3776. That's our new phone number. If you want to text us, or call us, either one, we're getting rid of the 206. We've gone toll free, which is funny considering, you know, nobody pays for anything anymore in that regard, but we are, we're toll free, baby. How about that?
Yep.
My parents got a toll free number when I went to college.
Why?
So because I went to college 3,000 miles away, right? Like they lived in Boston. I went to college outside of L.A. at Pomona. And they wanted me to be able to call whenever and stay in touch.
I didn't know you could
do that. Yeah, you could just get one for your house. So this is back in the day, right? There was no cell phones yet.
Right.
So this is 1996. And my parents got a toll-free number.
I didn't know that was a thing either. I remember the calling cards.
Yeah, no, this was...
It
was like a graduation or going away gift for me or something like that. Like, not the only one, but like, yeah, they got themselves a number so I could call whenever and not have to pay for it.
Man.
Isn't that cool?
I remember I was in junior high and I was dating a girl from a different town and I had to buy calling cards or I had to
just
pay
to
the
call
phone,
her.
Yeah, or I had to pay the phone bill.
Isn't that amazing?
I forgot all about calling cards, Maura. Wow.
Just from a different town, right? You would sometimes have to pay, like, not even out of your area code, just like a few towns over.
Yeah. You know what's funny is the whole Montana has the same area code. It's 406 for the entire state.
Still?
Yeah. And then the next three digits were the town.
Right.
So giving a phone number is just four digits. It's like, yeah, call me at 9727. That was the number.
Yeah. You know what? I grew up in a small town where that was the case also. Their exchange was 443, but you just had to dial three and then the four digits. And so, like, it was basically on, like, a big, like, a company switchboard where you just had to dial the last digit. It was anarchy when they went to a modern system. All right. Enough talking about the good old days with rotary phones, this, that, and the other. Let's do some ranking.
Got a list? Time to put it in order.
Fred Dwarmfor's house. Top five meals that I have ever had.
This is Ranked.
To be honest, that list was really biased.
Brought to you by Carter Volkswagen. Every morning at 9:45 on the Mike Salk Show.
That top 10 list. I'm not buying that.
Ranked.
Yeah, we got 509 reminding us of 10-10-220. To get a better deal on long distance. What was the dial down the middle thing? That was for collect calls.
Jeremy McGrath was sponsored by him. Was it 1-800-COLLECT?
1-800-COLLECT, yeah.
1-800-COLL-COLLECT or something? Yeah.
That became like a big... There was like a few years where... Like all of what you get right now are insurance commercials while you're watching sports. For a while, all it was collect calls. So strange that was such a big market. How is that big a market that they needed to advertise everywhere? The collect call market.
Call collect back then.
I know.
Now no one cares.
Now you have cell phones. But it was weird, like a last dying gasp of the collect call. All right, Field of Dreams game yesterday. Did you watch it?
Watched just the highlights of it. It was a Mariners day off. I decided to stay away from the TV for the day.
Okay.
I watched some of the intros and stuff, but if they would have put someone other than the Reds.
You didn't want to watch the Reds? Nobody left.
All I know about the Reds is, that half of them came here.
Yeah, we got all the ones you want. You didn't want to watch to see if there was anybody you want next year? Mariner Farm System in Cincinnati?
I will say that Brandon Drury's been hitting some big home runs for the Padres.
Hey, can't hear you. Can you move the mic closer? It's hard to hear you.
Literally on top of it. I think it's something we're going to have to fix with the new system.
I did like the story Joey Votto told where he was mic'd up out on first base and he lost his dad, I think he said 14 years ago. Mm. And just a special moment, he said. And he was really emotional about it. And it was a pretty good story, made for good TV.
Well, with that in mind, Fields Ranked. We thought about Dreams. We debated back and forth. Maybe we'll do Dreams another time. But we're going to go with Fields Ranked. And there are a lot. There have been, I think, two different major leaguers named Josh Fields. I think a pitcher and a catcher.
I played with one at Green River Community College
really?
For a while. Or JD, I think was his name.
The Mariners had JD Fields. Huh.
Played with the JD, I think, and then there was a Josh as well.
Well, Josh Fields, there was a pitcher Josh Fields and a catcher Josh Fields. I'm not necessarily a big Sting fan, but...
On the fields of Bali, in his arms she fell as her hair came down.
What's the sigh for?
So depressing. How bad is your life, Sting, that you've got to sing like that?
Since it didn't even make your list, you don't really have to play it.
Didn't have to at all.
I thought I'd be able to get through it, but I couldn't. There's something about Sting, man. I don't care for him at all.
I got it. Noted.
I just don't like him.
Add him to the list of people you don't like.
Perhaps you know this song, though.
Where's the field? Center field.
Well, that's the name of the song.
That's not a stretch.
It's literally Fields Ranked. How is center field a stretch?
That song, I think, put me in, coach.
No, it's called Center Field.
Center Field. That was
literally the name of the song is Center Field by John Fogerty.
I would never have known that.
Well, but that doesn't make it wrong. That just is. Pretty you can't field. Blame your own ignorance. Can't blame us for your ignorance.
Same.
You got field Yates.
Field doesn't seem like the central theme of that song.
But it's the name. I think the name being center field is sort of key here.
I'll allow it.
I've never heard someone call that song that. I always hear put me in, coach.
But again, other people's ignorance. Anyway. You got Sally.
Oh, am I frustrating you during ranked, coach?
Yeah, you are. Now I'm frustrated. It's the first time all day I've gotten upset, too.
Totally.
You got Sally Field, great actress.
Yes.
Kind of.
She's great.
She's fine.
Why just fine?
I don't know. She's fine.
She's an iconic character in so many of the movies that I loved in childhood.
Like what?
Miss Doubtfire.
Yeah.
Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Man, too many. Yes.
What else?
I'm not gonna
know that I can come up with a movie I like with Sally Field in it.
Why not?
I don't know. She chooses bad projects. I don't know what to tell you. Elysian Fields.
Oh, yes. Elysian Fields, the song and the location?
I was mostly thinking of the location, but I mean, Megadeth did do an Elysian Fields. Is Megadeth opening, by the way, for Five Finger Death Punch or something?
Yeah, they're playing on the same show.
Why are they opening? Megadeth is like an all-time band, and Five Finger Death Punch is not. I don't get that.
I really like them.
Eh, it's fine.
White River Amphitheater, by the way.
Huh?
I think they're playing White River.
Yeah, I think they are. Let's see. Do we get Killing Fields by Slayer?
No. Killing Fields is a good one, though.
There's another one. W.C. Fields, old actor, director from like the 1940s or 30s or something. You got Holden Caulfield. You got James T. Fields. You got Justin Fields. So there's just a few. But let me give you my top five.
Let's do it.
Number five, a tie between father and son, since that's sort of the theory or what started this all. Prince and Cecil Fielder.
Ah, yeah.
Got to put them on the list, don't you? All the combined runs that they both had. Number four, former heavyweight champion of the world, Evander Holyfield.
I like it.
Evander Holyfield.
All I can ever think, bless his heart, was how Clayton used to love to tell the story about meeting him, and he'd always say, Evander Holyfield.
Every time.
Holyfield.
Holyfield, yep. Oh.
Aww. But Evander Holyfield really wanted to meet Clayton at an airport.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
People really wanted to be around John Clayton. It was a really big thing.
It was fun to watch.
Yeah. Number three, Fields ranked Mrs. Fields chocolate chip cookies. You like a good Mrs.
Thank
Fields?
Thank you. I was really worried we were going to miss that.
No. Or Mrs. Fields, are those, I try to remember which ones they are. Are they the hard ones or the bigger soft ones? Okay, yeah, I like those.
They used to be in malls kind of like the Annie's pretzels.
I like those.
Yeah.
You know what I was thinking of? I think they're called like Choco chocolate chip cookies or something. They come in a package of three and they're like really crispy. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Ugh, my dad used to get them for lunch all the time. I don't like them at all. Chocolate chip cookies should be soft.
Yes.
Hard and crispy. No, thank you. I'm out on that.
I agree on that.
Finally, Moore and I have found common ground on chocolate chip cookies.
It only took 3 hours and 52 minutes.
Maybe it was Mrs. Something else. I don't know. Somebody will remember maybe on the text toy.
Was it Peggy Lawton choco chip
Peggy
cookies?
Peggy Lawton. Yes.
There you go.
Ugh. Not my favorite.
Good.
Not a Peggy Lawton.
Peggy's the worst.
Beat it, Peggy.
Peggy should take some lessons from Mrs. Fields. Go get baking lessons from Madam Fields. Number two, Field ranked. Something to get hung about.
Strawberry Fields forever. Yeah. Good. I didn't really love that era of the Beatles. I never really did.
You don't like the sort of trippier Magical Mystery Tour, Sgt. Pepper's, that stuff?
Maybe, I don't know, maybe there's a time in my life I will, but I still hear it and I'm like,
it's pretty good.
It's Beatles light to me.
It's a game changer, too. I mean, like, it totally changed music in so many ways.
You're not wrong. I agree. What about Sally Fields and Smokey and the Bandit?
Nope.
Wow!
Never see it.
Peter.
Unfortunate.
I kind of confuse Sally Field with Sissy Spacek, too. Are they similar?
No.
How do you know?
I know what they look like.
She's not ignorant.
How do you know?
Like, wasn't Sissy Spacek the Carrie mom?
I only know Sissy Spacek, I think, from JFK. She was the wife. And she's kind of annoying in that.
Oh, Sissy Spacek was Carrie.
She was Carrie?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's twice in a week Carrie's come up. That's exciting.
Carrie's ranked.
Carries or carries? With a K or with a C? Anyway. Number one Field is Wrigley Field. I mean, that just seems pretty obvious. Yeah, like, what are you going to not put Wrigley number one?
Yeah. Yeah. Appreciate it. I mean, Field & Stream magazine deserves a mention here.
What does?
Field & Stream magazine.
What's that?
It's just like an outdoor magazine. Hunting, fishing.
I'm surprised I don't know more about that.
Yeah, you weren't a card-carrying like member of the Field & Stream magazine VIP club?
Seems like something that would be right on my list.
Bugle magazine.
Bugle magazine?
I was at Elk magazine, the Elk Hunting magazine.
Wait, what? Yeah. What are you talking about? Now there's elk in magazines?
It's Bugle magazine.
It's about elk?
Yes.
There's a whole magazine about elk? How often does it come out?
It was quarterly for a while.
Oh, sounds accurate.
I gave my dad for a Christmas gift 1 year.
We'll be back on Monday. Enjoy the Seahawks. Enjoy the Mariners. Don't forget, Mariners game is on KTTH 770 tomorrow. We have a lot to talk about when we come in here on Monday. I can't wait. We'll see you guys at 6. Goodbye.